I don't know if you guys ever did Sunday school, but do you Sunday school, you did palm trees and, you know, palm branches out and everything, isn't it? So why the introduction of a donkey? So my wife shared a video. What was that guy's name?
Jay John,
yeah. And so he asked to be introduced as a donkey, and I thought his introduction was fantastic. And it's true, you know what? I'm a donkey. You know, it's amazing. The donkey carried Jesus, didn't he? And the donkey wasn't thinking to himself, oh, look, they're praising me. Oh, look, they're throwing their cloaks in front of just for me. Oh, look, they're waving palm trees. Oh, how great this is. How fantastic. The donkey wasn't thinking that at all, was he? The donkey was carrying the Savior on his back. That was his purpose and plan. And that's what we do, isn't it? We carry the Savior, don't we? That's our purpose. Amen. We carry the Savior in our heart, and we carry the Savior of our lives in our very existence. And that's what we do. So that's why I'm the donkey. Amen. Palm Sunday. Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, it's amazing. You know, the Jesus instruction on Palm Sunday. Okay, look, you're going to go down this town. You're going to see a donkey that's never been rode before. Ask of it. If he asks, he says, your master requires it. You know, they didn't have Google Maps. You know, they didn't have Waze. You know, they didn't have a little sat-nav carrying where they were going to go. I was reading that story, and I was thinking, that's fantastic, isn't it? They just go in the town. There's the donkey that Jesus said. I'll grab the donkey, and sure enough, and that's what happened. So another interesting in Palm Sunday that happened. So Jesus, one of Jesus' greatest speech actually occurs in the Bible. Yeah, so he rides in a donkey Palm Sunday. You know, the Pharisees are kind of like, they're jealous because Jesus is getting all the praise. And tell them to quiet them down. It's amazing. People just don't like us praising Jesus. Yeah. Quiet down. Don't get too loud. And Jesus says, look, if they don't praise me, I'll raise the rocks to praise me. And the greatest speech is when he looks up and like he's going to address the audience, because the people wanted a physical king to take over from the Roman Empire. Yeah. To rescue them. But Jesus died for a heavenly empire. So this way we could be rescued from our sins and be our Savior. And so he stood up and he looked around and he said nothing. And he walked back down, rejecting their pleas for an earthly king because he had a greater thing. And thank God for his vision of greatness. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to do 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 11 to 12, just two verses. So not complicated today. Very short, sweet to the point. So this is one of David's mighty men. And we're just going to look at just one of David's mighty men. So 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 to 12. Which is very good. And it says, and I quote, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought a great victory that day. Amen. Very obscure, isn't it? Just two little verses, here we are, we're talking about Shammah. And the very first point is, you know, who you hang around with, you ultimately will determine who you are. It's true. You ever heard that saying, corrupt company, corrupts bad character? It's true. So, Shammah was one of David's mighty men. And in 1 Samuel 22, 1 to 2, it says, David therefore departed from there and escaped in the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men. So here is David, and this guy was one of those 400. Yeah. Became a mighty man of God. Gave mighty victory. And see, this is what God calls us to be, is to be like King David. Because David was an influencer. So he influenced the people that had no hope, that were in debt, the rebel rousers of his time. And he said, wait, look, you come and follow me, and God will do something through you, with you, and things will happen. And so the call of God on our lives is us to be influencers. You know, a lot of Christianity thinks we are just thermometers. And what thermometers do is they're very stagnant, aren't they? You just place it on the wall and it tells you the temperature, doesn't it? Yep. Yeah. Oh, it's 16 degrees Celsius. That's what the thermometer. Yeah, thank you very much. It doesn't do anything, does it? It just sits there. And unfortunately, Christianity, now I'm not talking about this church, but Christianity as in the world are full of just stagnant Christians. Yep. We tell people, oh, the world's terrible place. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's this, this, this. We just tell them what temperature it is, don't we? Yep. But God has called us to be like King David, an influencer. An influencer is a thermostat. And a thermostat, what does a thermostat do? It changes the temperature, doesn't it? Yeah, it cranks the heat up, doesn't it? Yeah, you got a cold house, you go to a thermostat, or you go to the app. Yeah. You go to the app and you go, okay, well, yeah, I want it a little hotter, depending on what type of house you have. Yeah, and you crank it up, you change the heat, don't you? And the thermostat changes. And so that's what God's called us to be, thermostats, people who changes the atmosphere where we're at, where we work at, where we are, find ourselves, if our friends, our families, he's called us to be the influencers. Look, I've gone to work, and people say to me, Julio, we're going to change you. Yeah, you're going to be cussing and swearing just like us. You're going to be just like that. I was like, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't wear what they're saying. And sometimes, you know, it's okay to stand up for yourselves. Throw it back. I said, I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to influence you. You are not going to influence me. Yeah. I'm going to change how this place works. You're not changing me. And you know what? It works every time. I just believe God to do exactly that, and the opportunity to rise to do that. And I'll just give you an example. So I had a new manager. He came in. He started cussing and swearing in the office. And, you know, and I'm like, I'm not putting up with that. So I went into his office, closed the door. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, look, this is not a football field. Yeah. If you want to cuss and swear, you can do it on a football field till your heart's content. But this is an office. We don't do that here. Came back down, sat down. I told my friend next door, and he's sitting next to me. And he says, you can't say that. You can't do that. I said, well, I just did. But you know what? He didn't do it. That's what I mean. We are called to change. Yeah, we change the atmosphere. That's what David did. And you can see, and Shammah is the part of that change. We have stories of men like Shammah because of King David. Isn't that great? And that's what God's called us to be, influencers, so that people can say, hey, I remember that guy. Yeah, he lived for Jesus. I'm here because of him. Amen? And isn't that just tremendous? And people of faith, they rub off on you, don't they? People of faith, they enlarge your thinking. They challenge you to where you're at. Because it's so easy to be low-level thinking, isn't it? It's so easy to just, you know, well, this is what everybody else is doing, isn't it? Yeah, don't want to upset anybody. Because really, if you're a visionary, you're going to do things that people aren't going to like. You're going to be doing things that people are going to say, oh, never done that before. You know, why spoil the apple cart? So you need to be around people of faith. So when it does come, when you do get downcast, because people are like that, yep, their faith will rub off on you and say, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm going to stick to my guns. This is what Shama did. He stuck to his guns. See, so here's the field. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I'm sure when Shama woke up that morning, he wasn't thinking to himself, you know what, I'm just going to kill a bunch of Philistines. I'm going to stand up for a field. I'm sure that didn't transpire. You know what? When I woke up this morning, look, folks, I didn't feel like praying. You know what I'm saying? Prayer is not a feeling. You know, I didn't feel like getting up this morning. It was early this morning, really. We lost an hour of sleep. But I got up. You know, you don't feel like reading your Bible. You don't feel like coming to church. Shama didn't feel like, you know, he didn't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm just going to go to that field over there and, yeah, kill some Philistines. Yeah, that thought was farthest from his mind, probably. Yeah. But we do these things because faith precedes our feelings. Feelings doesn't dictate who we are. But we let it, don't we? We let feelings dictate our mood. We let feelings dictate, you know, how we feel, how our value system is based on feelings, not based on the Bible, what the Bible says it says about our lives. Because God says we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. You don't have to feel that. It's a faith thing, isn't it? Yep. Oh, God, you said. Yep. And when you talk to yourself, when you talk to your will, you say, God, this is what your word says. And it's like that. Look, it's like that in marriage, too. I'm just telling you. You know, you're not going to feel love to your partner every day. So look, I don't buy flowers for my wife because I feel like buying flowers for her. Yeah, it's very unnatural for guys to do this, buy flowers. Buying chocolates is better because you can share chocolates. But anyway, but when you buy flowers, the feelings of love gets pulled. Yeah, and that's how it be in relationships, and it's like that with our relationship with the Lord. We stand. Don't let your feelings be the locomotive. Let faith be the locomotive. Now, this is amazing. So, Shama stood in a field of lentils. And you think it's a field of lentils, beans. Field of beans. I don't know. I kind of like to think they're pinto beans. That's the Mexican version, pinto beans. Lentils are good. You know, what value is lentils? What value is a field? You just got to think, insane, isn't it? It's just insane. Why stand up for a land that grows very little seeds of lentils? Well, it's because, you know, illustration is this, is God values your life. So in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13, 44, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven's like this, a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So he goes and finds a treasure in a field. So he goes and buys that field, so it's doubly his. And that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Yep, and rose again on the third day. We're doubly his. Yep, because he says we are his treasure. He thought you were worth dying for. He said, you know what? I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. And so when Shama sees this field, he's saying, you know what? This is the king's field. This is my king's field. This is King David's field. It's worth defending. And sometimes when the enemy comes in like a flood, and it says, and trust me, the lies come, because the lies come to me, and says, oh, you have no value. God doesn't care. Yep. It's a lie. It's a lie. And sometimes you just need to say to yourself, it's a lie, I'm not listening to that. Yep. You got to filter those thoughts in your mind because they come. Yep. Oh, this isn't going to happen because you're a nobody. Oh, this isn't going to happen because really God loves that person more than that person. Yep. God favors that person more than you. No, God favors you. God loves you and he cares for you. And so there's value in the field. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11, 12 says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's so easy just to throw in the towel, isn't it? It's so easy to just, you know, like, okay, I'm not trying that again. You know, the setbacks of life, isn't it? We're all going to face setbacks of life. But he says, hey, look, fight the good fight of faith. Get back up. Dust the sand off your shoes and stand up and fight. Yep. You need to fight for your loved ones. Yep. Fight for your children. Fight for your grandbabies. Yep. Fight for your friends. And fight for yourself above all. Yep. Because God says, you know what? It's worth fighting for. We are what? The thermostat, aren't we? Yep. We're changing. We're influencers. So, back to the Old Testament, back to fighting. And you got to understand, we have an enemy that doesn't want you to go forward in Christ. Yep. So if you're facing something, you just got to remember the enemy is doing that because your group, God has something bigger plans for you. And so the enemy, all he has to do, he has no choice but to oppose. But by opposing, we enter God's plan and purpose for our lives. So let's look at Moses. So Moses fought over the sacrifice. Genesis 15:9 is where it is. It says, so he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he put all these to him, which is God, and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. So here it is. Abraham obeys God. Yep. Takes the ram, the goat, the turtle doves, place them, cuts them in half for God. What happens is the enemy comes in and tries to spoil that sacrifice. And trust me, folks, there's enemy comes in and tries to spoil our sacrifices for God. Yep. He tries to destroy, dismantle, ruin. Yep. He tries to derail you if he can. But what happens is we need an attitude like Moses that says, you know what? I'm going to shoo you away. You are not taking it. It is mine. That's like Shammah's attitude, wasn't it? Yep. He says, look, this is the king's field. You ain't taking this. Moses says, look, this is my sacrifice. This is my God. This is my king. You are not taking this from me. Yep. I love that attitude. It's a great attitude, isn't it? It's a fighting attitude. It's like, no, you know what? I'm fighting for this. Yeah. And the reason why did they have that attitude? Because they knew the importance of God. They knew the importance that God had on their lives and said, you know what? No, my God's important. I'm fighting for this. And Moses did. And God passed through the sacrifice. Now, funny enough, in the Old Testament, I was reading up on this, it's a two-way thing. You see, if I have a covenant with you, then what happens is I do the sacrifice and you do the sacrifice. But in the Old Testament, it was just God did the sacrifice. Yeah, he passed through. He did nothing. And why was that? Because what God was telling him, say, look, whether you value this or not, whether you forget me, I will not forget you. Yeah. So when you stumble and fall, I will remember you. because I am faithful when we are faithless. It's so true, isn't it? How many times do we stumble and fall and we think, God, do you still love me after that? He says, yeah, I still love you because I passed through the sacrifice. He's greater. And we just got to remember on God's greatness, don't we? Yep, he's greater. His greater love, his greater forgiveness. Amen. So, I just want to tell you this. So, I wrote this down to... Oh, I had a conversation with Eunice. We were talking about an individual that y'all don't know. And my quote to my wife was, I said, she doesn't put faith before her problems. Remember that? But it's like that in our lives, isn't it? You look at Peter. The Apostle Peter. Yep. Jesus is walking on the water. Remember Jesus walking on the water? Yep. And Peter sees the Lord. Yeah. And he says, oh. So the Lord, is that you? Well, come. Bid me to come. He says, yeah, come on up. And so Peter steps over to the boat and starts walking on the water, doesn't he? It's fantastic, isn't it? Walking on water. I don't know about you, but I kind of go look at that and said, oh, wow, yeah, get that bad boy. Okay. Pretty unreal. But that's faith, isn't it? He starts walking on the water. His faith proceeded. Yep. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like, you know, if I'm on the water, I'm kind of like, man, I'm going to give this thing a try. And I think I'd start skipping, see if it really works. You know, if you swing both arms, you skip faster. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, just okay. It's true. You do skip faster. Just saying. Can you imagine skipping on the water? Ooh, yeah, Jesus, I'm coming. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. Great, wouldn't it? But as we know, look, so Peter didn't make it, did he, all the way to the Lord? Because he saw the circumstances, he saw the problems, and he fell. But who rescues him? It's Jesus. Jesus takes him by the hand, says, come on. Takes him to the boat. So Jesus is still walking on the water with Peter. He gets in the boat. And so look, God wants us to go out by faith and step by faith. It means you're not going to see everything. You're not going to have all the answers. He's not going to give them to you because it's not faith. And he wants us to step out by faith because faith is the influencing, isn't it? Yeah. We talk about men of faith, don't we? Hebrews chapters. Dedicated to men of faith. Yeah. Shama, man of faith. He said, nope, you're not taking this. And he just slew all the Philistines, didn't he? He defended it. A man of faith. It was just like Peter. Step out of the boat. And if we fall and stumble, you know what? Jesus doesn't ignore us. You know, he doesn't quit on us. He takes us by the hand, picks us up. Yep. And lets us go again. That's our Lord, isn't it? So let faith be in front and not in the rear of your problems. Let it be in front of your addictions, your faith. Let it be in front of your depressions, faith. Let faith be in front of your bad situations. Let faith be in front of your madness or anger. Let faith be in front of your disappointments. Let faith be in front of your vision. Be in faith in front of your countenance and your ministry. Let faith always be in front. Look, we had a men's prayer breakfast yesterday, and I talked about this very thing. You know, there's a guy who started the ministry to Campus Crusade for Christ. And this man, he was a Presbyterian. Yep. He wasn't even a preacher. He was a lay preacher. He was a lay minister. Yep. And he said, Lord, where is Christ not preached? So he checked the prisons out. Prisons were being preached there. Yep. He checked the homeless. Yep. Christ was being preached there. So again, he asked the Lord, Where are you not being preached at? And he said, oh, go to the colleges. Go to the universities. Oh, don't worry. That's probably Jesus calling. Time to get. So, and he said, go to them. And so he did by faith. And thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to Christ on the campuses and the universities. Not in America, but here in England. All over the world. Because the campuses would be the next leaders. Yep. They would be the next influencers that would change the world. The next managers, the manageresses, the next people. And so he, by faith, went off and said, okay, Lord, I will do this. And by doing that, yep, many souls were saved. Because God's just doing it in faith. You know, there's no boundaries of, you know, Presbyterian, Wesleyan, yep, Pentecostals, Baptists. He's just interested in faith. He says, will I find faith when I return? That's what it says in Revelations. Yep. It's just be men and women of faith. And as we just dedicate our lives to Christ and say, God, I give you my all. He says, well, that's all I need. That's all I need. And there's a song that says, by C.C. Winans, that goes like this. Says, he goes, she goes, I'll give you more, more, more than this. I'll give you more, more, more than this. Not just a little, not just a part of me. Not just a little, not just a part of me. Everything, I will lay it down at your feet. My whole life poured out an offering. Lord, right here and now, all I am is yours. And I'll give you more, more than this. I'll give you more, more than this. Not just a little, not just a part of me. Not just a little, not just a part of me. And when we do that, saints, it just opens wide for the things of God to manifest in your life. Didn't we sing that song, the fire of God, let the fire of God fall? Didn't we say that? Didn't we sing that in our hearts? And that's what God says, okay, you know what? That'll do. That's all I need to hear. Amen. And he will fill you up. And he will. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, new things for this church, new things for you and the environment that you find yourself in. That's what God calls us to. Amen. Shall we just stand and pray? Amen. Hallelujah, God. Oh, God, I just thank you, Lord God, that you have called us to greater things, Lord. God, you've called us to be influencers, Lord God, the thermostat that changes the atmosphere, Lord. And God, we are nothing without you. We need you, Lord. And so, God, we give you our hearts. We give you our life. We give you our all, our mind, our body, our soul. And God, we come to worship you because that's what we were created for. We're going to worship something. But hallelujah, we've got the one and true living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died and resurrected on the third day so we could have eternal life and abundant life in you. Joy forevermore, joy everlasting. And God, I just pray that your people that you love so much, that, Lord, you will just take them further and deeper in you. That they will be people of faith and walk by faith, live by faith. And that, God Almighty, Lord God, you would just sow seeds in their hearts. And that, God, you've got greater plans and greater purposes for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.